So, a couple of thoughts. Just if it is your first time to our church, if you don't go to church at all, let tonight just encourage you that there are people who are passionate about making a difference in other people's lives, and that's why we give. But we don't expect you at all to give, just to be clear. So if you're new to church, the main thing is that you connect with God. The main thing is you let God come in and touch your life and you begin a relationship, okay? For those who are part of this church, or you're part of another church, go back and be generous in your church. That's what I would say. Those of you who are part of this church, this is your church home. Really, this is two Sundays where we go a bit deeper into that journey with you around your giving. Does that make sense? A couple of thoughts. Last Sunday morning, I just shared a message about a biblical pattern for vision projects in church life. So out of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, encourage you to read it or go back and listen to last Sunday morning's message. But in essence, it's David saying, basically this is what he did. We want to build a temple. My son Solomon's going to build it. I'm going to cast a vision in this temple. It's going to be amazing. So here's the first thing. I'm going to cast a vision. And he just said it'll be a magnificent house that the nations will come to. So that was the vision. Then he talked about his personal, he organized the kingdom of Israel's budget, but then he said, out of my personal wealth, I'm giving this much. And he listed how much he was giving. And then he said, now there's a group of leaders, and the leaders and commanders in Israel, and they're giving this much. And he spelt that out. And then ultimately what happened is all of the people, the Bible says, gave willingly and joyfully. So that's the pattern. You kind of see that through the Bible. There's relief offerings. There's all sorts of different offerings in the Bible. But it goes through this. Cast a compelling vision. And our vision here as a church is to see lives transformed. It's to see people like Rach encounter Jesus. And even if we have wobbly seasons, to come back and get right with Jesus afresh. So we want to have magnificent facilities to do that in. But the facilities are for a purpose. And that's to make disciples. That's for lives to be transformed. That's the vision. Then the leaders shared. So David, he actually shared that he personally set aside an equivalent of gold and silver today of $12 billion. So that would have blown people away. Oh my gosh, you must really believe in this. So that is the example. So Danielle and I, we will share stories about how much we've given over the years. And over, different, mostly it's been anything from $5,000 up to about $60,000 personally annually. We're probably, if we were to average it, it's probably about $25,000 each year that we've given separate to our tithe into this facility so that people can come and meet Christ. Okay, so that's part of our vision. We don't do that to brag. We don't do that to compare to anybody else. We do that because we want everyone in our church to know where we're in. We're leading by example. We're not saying, hey, everybody, you should give, and we're not going to. So that's the reason. Then the next part of it talks about, so that compelling vision, leaders sharing, leading by example, then a group of leaders who actually were in. This is the pattern in that story. And so we've got all of our executive, all of our board, many of our pastors, our first ever offering in the church for this kind of thing, God spoke to us about selling our car and giving $5,000. And then the next 12 months, we drove around a really bomby little car because it was a nice car that we sold back in the day. $5,000 got you a nice car back in the day. A reasonable car. It's all relative, right? So it started when you press the button and it had aircon, okay? It was great. So we gave the... not press the button, turn the key. Yeah, just got a bit carried away, all right? But we gave that $5,000 in our first vision offering, and ever since then we've been giving that as kind of a minimum for our giving. And that sort of out of that started this idea of what we call vision investors. That would be a group of people in our church who either are really called in terms of leadership or financial to be financial leaders, like people with the gift of giving. And so they would give $5,000 each year, and there's about 60 people in our church who do that right now. We're believing that this year we'll see about 100 people jump into that realm as we go into our future. And then every year there's a whole stack of people who just give willingly and joyfully, and it's amazing. So that's the pattern. Leaders, vision, leader, leaders, everybody, joy and celebration. Are you with me so far? All right, that's kind of the pattern. We talk about sacrifice because mostly to kind of jump into giving above our tithe, it requires sacrifice. So I'm going to get David and Marina. Why don't you come on up here? You can. They got a little warning. I'm just going to grab maybe 4 or 5 minutes with a few different people. Hello, Dave and Marina, our amazing Vision Builder leaders. Just
we're so far away.
Quick version. When you first came to this church, you'd kind of grown up in church, but then you were in your wild years. We won't talk about that. That's the kombucha years. We won't focus on that. And then you came and you started to go, hey, we need to get our life back in order with God in terms of the way we're living, our lifestyle. And that, you know, at that point, that related to your money as well. You're in personal debt.
Lots of personal debt.
Yeah, it added up to around about $58,000 personal bad debt, just credit cards.
Right.
Not healthy.
Bad loans. Okay. Nothing to show for.
But you had a dream of being like millionaires and retiring young, right?
Yeah. rich, young, and good looking. That was the dream.
Okay, there we go.
I was all in. Oh, I was ready for it.
Okay, so that was the dream, but you were going about it the wrong way on credit.
Right, yeah. No, well, yeah, we were living the life,
right,
but not actually substantially with anything to show for
it. Is that stressful?
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest, like...
Marina, was that stressful?
It was very stressful. It was very stressful.
Yeah, when you have no more credit on 2 credit cards... And you've got the real estate agent calling.
Right. Pay your rent.
It was still very raw.
Okay. All right. So that, we talked about God wants to get in your heart and to become Lord of all your life. Mm-hmm. And that there's a relationship room that he wants to become the Lord of. There's your time. There's your lifestyle, the way we live. Mm-hmm. But he wants to get into the money room.
Yeah.
And so part of that is, becoming good stewards.
Yes.
Just kind of going, we need to cut up the credit cards.
Yes.
We need to start a budget, spend less than comes in.
Yeah.
What else did you do just in that?
I think being in agreement too, Dave talked about it before.
Yep.
We had to face the facts that we were in a lot of debt and actually surrendering to God and just be like, okay God, we really stuffed up here. But we're...
That's quite humbling, right? When you got to...
It was a repentance moment.
Yeah. Okay, you have to use your microphone.
I remember the conversation. It was with our accountant, and I'm like, I can't balance this anymore. It was a juggling act of pushing money here so I could cover this bill and pushing money there to try and do that. And I just said, I stuffed up. This is so embarrassing, but I've got to face this.
Right.
Yeah.
And it kind of just let light into the situation.
Yeah, right. So you shared it with someone. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Repented with God and then said, let's get things in order.
Right.
So first part of order is tithing.
Yes.
Right.
In terms of getting your finance in order with God. So tell us about that. Were you tithing up to then? Or?
We didn't understand what tithing was all about back in our old church. Right. I mean, you understood.
They passed the offering plate along, but...
Yeah. I put in 25 cents. Yeah.
Okay.
I put in 25 cents in the bucket and I thought that was okay. But, understanding on how we honor God through our tithes, it was just like a light bulb moment when we came into this church.
The word tithe literally means tenth. And when you want to say, God, come and be part of my financial life, the tithe is like the stepping stone to go, all right, whenever I get income, the first tenth is going to go to you, whether it's profit or payments or wages or whatever it is. Give God that first tenth. That sort of goes, I want you involved.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, how long did it take you to get out of personal debt?
Oh, what was the journey? Probably 3-4 years all up. We put a plan together and it just accelerated. But it was interesting because we got out of debt, but at the same time we built up our finances, and it's different for everyone else. I'm not saying this is financial advice, because with financial advice, usually you just kill all debt.
Yep.
But for us, there was a faith component involved.
Yes.
And we were believing that we wanted to have our own house, and we were just saving at the same time. So I just saw this amount grow, and we attached our giving to that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We attached our giving to God. We want you to move in our lives. We're going to believe that this debt's going to get broken off our lives and removed, but we're also believing that you're going to move and you're going to give us our own house.
So you reset your focus to that, right? And realigned your heart from wanting to become the rich young millionaires to actually advance the kingdom of God.
Billionaires.
Yeah, advance the kingdom of God, right?
Yes,
guys.
Right, yes. And if you get wealthy,
should have rehearsed
if
my
you
notes.
Get wealthy in the process, that's okay, but your heart shifted.
Yes. Right, it's true. It's true.
Okay, good. I'm glad it's true. I know it's true. I'm giving you words. Okay, so last Sunday night, I talked about being in a moment. We had Pastor Luca Robertson, the people who are part of our Vision Investors group. So it's kind of like, okay, this is a gift of giving. We want to lead by example. Two or three times a year, we just go, hey, because that you're leading in this area, we want to invest into you, pray for you. And so we had them with Pastor Luca. I had this moment where Pastor Luca said, if you're over 60, I'll pray prophesy over you. And like a stack of people in our church just kind of went, they were sitting in the middle, and the next lot of people to get prophesied moved to the other side. At this moment, I'm like, whoa, that's two thoughts. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing because there's a generation of people who have gone before and they've broken through in finances. Yeah. They've been super sacrificial, super generous. But also, oh, we need to raise up a new generation who actually understand the power of giving, sacrifice, faith, and breaking through. Because the people doing that, they're not broke. They've actually seen the blessing of God in their lives, but stayed sacrificial. Were you inspired when you started to give? Was it in terms of, because you're, okay, that's 60 plus, you're 40 this year, yeah? So you're like in that generation. What inspired you guys to start to give?
I think for us, because we were young and impressionable still, it probably was the stories of how can they give like 50 grand?
Right.
Like, how is that possible? That just blew my mind.
Right.
And obviously in my mind, I was like, well, how much are they making? That's the thought pattern.
Right.
But that were like, whoa, how is this possible? And then they're just like, well, it's God. But then they just didn't even care about the money. And I saw these other things like their marriage was doing really well.
Right.
I saw their children here at church.
Right.
And they're just the joy around things. Because back then, it wasn't joy. It was more stress for us. And fear and anxiety around all that. And it was just like, no, there's just the peace that we saw in them. So I wanted what they had.
We grew up understanding and accepting, keyword accepting, that fear over money is a thing, you know? Right. Stressing over money is a thing. And when we had, you know, vision investors or even just couples that were just generous with their time and their sacred hospitality, inviting us into their home, and they were just so joyfully giving, and we're like, what is that?
Right.
We want that. It was, we were craving for it.
Step out of the stress and anxiety with money into a place where it doesn't have a hold of you.
That's right.
That's Jesus' plan for us. Ultimately, when we let him into that area, is that, you know, he literally said, seek first the kingdom and I'll look after that. And then don't be anxious, don't be worried. So if there's a lot of anxiety, fear, worry or stress, because you can have a lot or none and still be anxious and stressed about money. So breaking the power of it off your life actually allows us to get into a place where we're walking with the Lord. So two quick questions. What's your why? Why do the crowders give?
We should have flipped a coin. Okay, well, easy, Pastor John. My why is, I'm not going to cry. you know, I experienced, you know, rejection, abandonment, and trauma in my childhood. And in this house, I received freedom. And I want everyone to be able to walk through the gates of C3 Powerhouse and experience the same thing. But my other why is so I can provide a safe place for my nieces and nephews that don't know Christ, that they can also come here. I love that every single Sunday they know that, you know, Uncle Dave and Auntie Marina goes to church on a Sunday and they beg to come. So even for my spiritual nieces and nephews, so that's my why.
Because church is fun. Like, it's an enjoyable celebration place. Every Sunday, it's fun in here.
That's awesome. So what's your why, Dave?
My why? Probably at the core of it, it's probably been shaped over the years. Mm-hmm. Like, at the start, it was probably even in different motivations, but where I've landed over the last kind of 5 years is just giving for me, it's a spiritual gift. That's on my life.
Yep.
So I think it's the gift of giving and generosity is on me. So I want to do that to the fullest.
Stir that
up. I want to serve Jesus to the best that I can.
Yes.
And it means that I'm going to smash it in the marketplace and be able to give at high levels. Right. I want to serve Jesus and make it impactful. That's probably the core of it. But then out of that is the reason that I give into this church, because there's a whole other lot of funds you could give to, but we choose this church because it's our home.
Right.
And I said that earlier on, the fruit in this place, what I've seen over the last 13 years, lives transformed, we're transformed lives, the teaching, the care that's given to people that are in crisis, that's what I want to give towards.
So
it's fantastic. We're actually making an impact in our community. That.
Thank you, Dave and Marina. You can tag team in Josh and Jacina. There we go.
Tag.
Come on up, Josh and Jacina. I've talked a little bit, as you guys grab your seat, about our why. Danielle shared earlier, I've got three kind of really core whys. Why would we sacrifice over the years things like holidays for the year, clothing budgets for the year, just different stuff that we've sacrificed to get the flow of a blessing coming. One is because I love our church family. I love worshiping together. I love what God's done. My second is, I'm glad we're not in the rain trying to worship, so it's good to have a building, right? Now, my second is just seeing what God does in this building, just seeing people experience freedom, people encounter His presence. I love worshiping together. I love having fun, the conversations. And my third is seeing lives transformed. It's just deeply, deeply rewarding. Hello.
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 Hello. So we're going down. We got the 40s. Now we're in the mid 30s, early 30s, mid early. All right. So just in terms of the next generation. Have you guys grown up in wealthy homes?
No.
No, very much not.
Right.
So I grew up in a single parent home. Mm-hmm. My parents divorced when I was 5, mm-hmm. and so yeah, single mum, 3 kids.
Yep.
And yeah, so I grew up just with the bare minimum.
Right.
We had a roof over our head, we had food on the table,
yep.
but yeah, my experience of money growing up was a very stressed out mum.
Right.
How am I going to do this?
Right, understandably.
And that was my filter coming to church, right. was like, oh, money's a thing you stress about. Yeah. So
when you're 15, you come to this church, you meet Jesus.
Yeah.
We won't go down the track of all the beautiful healing He's done in
your
heart.
Yes,
yes. I'm going to make you cry tonight.
No, thank you. Pastor Josh. Marina was getting me going, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. So.
And so what, you know, when did you have a shift around money and your mindset?
I think to start off with it, I was really angry about it all.
Right.
The whole like tithing thing and vision builders thing. Right. It just pushed all the wrong buttons because.
Why do you think you're angry?
I think as growing up as a kid, when you don't have a lot, it's the idea of just this was the time, giving your money away was.
Right. Yeah.
Just like a horrific thing.
Right. Why are you trying to steal money off
you,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And but I, as I sat in church, and this is the great thing, it's like when I was 15, I just sat in church and people loved me. And as I got to know people, similar to what Dave mentioned before, is you realize that these people that are giving, they actually have a better life.
Right.
There's not just like money life, but just they have joy in their heart.
Right.
And God is in it. And
there's a freedom around it.
I had to face the facts that maybe the way I think about things isn't working, and maybe the way they're thinking about things is.
Yep.
And maybe I should give their way a go and trust God in it and let Him deal with all the crazy, funky things that I wrestled with.
That's cool. That's cool. What about you, Shekinah? What was your attitude to money?
Stressed. Money stressed me out. I saw money as if I had money, it was a security blanket. Because obviously I grew up with not much money, and I saw how my parents try to hold on to the little that they did have and how they try to make it work.
Yep.
So we always didn't have nice things, always lacked. So any bit I had, it was mine.
Okay.
But I always got taught to give into the house of God, because I grew up in a Christian home, so my parents were tithers. We tithe, but it was kind of, we tithe, but didn't really expect much back.
Right, okay, all right. So either of your parents own their own home?
No.
Okay, so that's been a big journey. When, you know, I think, I don't know when, but at some point I remember, because you, you're pastors and leaders in church, but you're like, okay, we want to jump into this next realm of giving, that sort of vision investor realm. Can you remember when that was?
Yes.
Go on.
An event for our vision investors, like we had with Pastor Luca, but Pastor Phil did it.
Right.
And we were there not because of what we gave, but because we were actually helping run the event.
You're running the event. Okay, you got the room.
And which I'd done in a couple of years beforehand, but a couple of years earlier, there was this dream song by you, Pastor John. It's like, you guys should go for your own help, own house. And we're like, pushing and trying, saving, failing, get a deposit, lose the deposit, all that kind of stuff. And I just really felt in that moment, I can't even remember what was being said, but I just remember this impression in my heart of like, if you build the house of God, I'll sort out the rest.
Amazing.
And it just made completely no sense in that moment.
Right, no logical sense.
No logical sense. We're trying to save for a house, but you're calling us to give the biggest amount that we've ever given, and more than whatever our families would have ever given, and probably would have, caused a lot of tension.
Right.
And we just decided we're going to trust God.
Right.
We're just going to trust God and give in faith. What we were saving for the deposit, we gave into the house of God.
Ooh.
And then the next year came, God said, go again.
Right.
Did it again, but then God started to move.
Right.
And then it was like, just thing after thing started to happen and shift,
right,
which eventuated into our own homes.
Right.
So, and yeah.
That's pretty cool. Did you, are there any specific things, obviously sacrificing a deposit towards a home, which again, you have to hear God in this. This is not the goal. It's not the goal to get people to give their deposits on their house. My goal is to help people get into a house. My goal is, but first, to get the house of God into your heart so that your priorities are right. But ultimately, I actually know once you start to do things God's way, He's way better at this money thing than any of us. He's a provider. That's His nature. He's Jehovah Jireh. But were there some specific things along your vision builder's journey that you've sacrificed?
We sacrificed holidays. Like when we first got married, our first few years of marriage, like we didn't go on nice holidays or go away. We did a lot of staycations. Like that was a massive sacrifice for us, was our holidays. And I think like just going out for like coffee. So we went through a season where we did 7-Eleven coffee for a season
every morning.
We love our coffee. We love our little morning dates. That's but that
commitment.
Became our dates.
Right.
7-Eleven coffee, go sit by the beach and talk. And that was like, I think, 2 years we did that.
Okay. Amazing. Very, very cool. So to make those sort of sacrifices, apart from God speaking to you and being a stretch, what's your why?
I have so many whys, but I love the house of God. I truly love the house of God. I love the people. Yeah. I love every single person that walks through those doors. I love that my kids get to grow up with the house. I love that when we home during the week, I hear my daughter just worshiping.
She's five.
Worshipping to the songs that she hears in church, with pouring out her heart. My why is also because if it wasn't for the house of God, I would hate to see where I would be today. Even though I grew up in a Christian home, God has transformed me.
Josh.
I've got lots of whys, but today I'm just thinking like next gen. This place is just a place where we pour life into our kids and into our youth. And I just remember as a 15-year-old, I just like people just poured life into me. And, you know, it was a kid in kids' church the other week, and has been a schmuck, and as kids are. But I just see myself in him. And I was like, man, I was a kid just like you, and I didn't have the house of God. And it hurt. But he can come. He can come as a schmuck. He can have leaders just pour life into him. He can have God pour life into him. And whether he stays in the house of God or goes a bit wobbly, like whatever, like Rachel's journey, it's like I believe those moments will stay in his heart forever. And so I give because I believe that, yeah, there's a generation that needs Jesus, and let's give into it. So,
awesome. Good job. You guys can grab your seat. I'm going to just grab a couple more people. Thank you. Alex and Jai, quickly come on up here. We're having fun. I'm sort of having fun on this emotional roller coaster, right? Hello, guys. You both met Jesus in this church.
I can't even like look at Shekinah right now. That's just...
Right. How long ago when you met Jesus? You were Alex, Jai. You were like a hippie druggie. Is that what we're calling you? That would be true. Okay, how long ago was that?
8 years ago.
8 years ago. Just give us, like, in a few words what he's done in your heart, your life.
Yeah, I came just, yeah. I'd quit drugs by then, but I was pretty pretty strung out, like, mentally.
Sort of quit drugs?
yeah, sorry. Pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah, I was mentally just all over the place. Like, just thinking back, my thoughts were so... directionless and twisted, mm-hmm. and what I believed to be truth was just so far from the actual truth. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, coming to this church really, like, helped my mind sharpen up in the right direction.
So good.
And, yeah, God really, like, just over time has just really straightened me out into a normal thinking person, I would say.
Very good. Once you got kind of normal.
Yeah, getting there.
Saved here how long ago?
14 years ago.
Yeah. Fantastic. You're a radical transformed life.
Yes.
Yes. What's your why?
Oh, I think, like, similar to everyone else's, but, you know, the fact that, oh, my gosh, why? Who started crying and who kicked it off? People like Russell and Marita that sacrificed and gave, and that there was a seat for me to come, and that the lights were on, and that there was the word prepared and preached, and, you know, that there was an opportunity for me to actually invite Jesus into my heart when I was so desperately needing something to change. And so I give because if I can just pay for one person's seat, that they can come and experience the freedom and, like, transformation of life I've experienced, that would make every single bit of sacrifice worth it.
Amazing. I love that. What about you, Jai? What's your why?
That's so nice. Because I was asking her, well, what's our why, babe? Like, do you want to agree about it? And she's like, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. You can have your own. Yeah. That's okay.
But my why is I have three reasons. And for one of them is what we just talked about, like when I first came to this church. Just the transformation in myself and what I saw in those people that got saved at the same time as me. Just like what God did in us. And so that's like past. And then a second reason is future, like where, you know, as we start a family and things like that, we want to see
not
our
an
kids.
Announcement, by
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
It's not an announcement.
You've got Franklin, your little dog.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's cool. Yep.
He'll be a transformed life soon. But yeah, we want to see our kids like raised up in the house of God.
Yes.
And we want to see our friends and our family eventually come to church. Like we're really keen on that. And then a third reason is just, it's a faith reason. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we want to stretch and grow in our faith, in our finances, and we want to see what God can do in the world of our finances. And much like Josh, I personally didn't come from anything. So it's like an area that I'm really passionate to see God move in for us personally. So, yeah.
Okay.
Those three.
So this time last year, you're thinking about your pledge, your house sitting, because you didn't have a place to stay, so you're kind of trying, and you're starting a brand new business. Like scraping and in the early stage of starting your own business. So, what did you decide to do? Tell us about your pledge, giving.
Do you want to go? Yeah, we decided to give anyway.
Yep.
because we're just committed to giving, no matter what, no matter what season. But initially that year, it was a struggle for us just mm-hmm. mentally, because mm-hmm. we were just going through some things in our heart and some healing. And but then we just decided to give, and yeah, it's just that's just part of how we do our Christian walk. We just give, and yep. it's not really. Besides that one instance, it's not a question for us. Like, we've been both giving since we got saved, essentially.
Really good.
And, yeah, starting a business and house-sitting, we didn't really have any money, but that's yep. not really, it doesn't make a difference. Like, it's just...
Can you remember what you pledged to it? What was last year?
I think it was, like, around $2,000.
$2,000,
yeah. But, yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. Amazing. Especially in that moment, in that season. What's God done in your finances since?
Yeah, it's been... We've... Yeah, started a business, and to our own surprise, it's going really, really well. And yeah, I'd say we've gone to just a new sort of level in our finances mm-hmm. and just our faith in that zone. And yeah, business is doing well. Mm-hmm.
And just yeah. I would say seeing how God provided over the year as well, like
yeah, like we never yeah. struggled for a house. No. For and the house that we're renting right now is like beyond what we could have asked for.
Right.
Yeah, we've just seen God just provide, just no matter what, right? Like, what do you say?
Oh, yeah, just like, I just remember a moment in January where I started doing the budget and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know how we're going to get through this month and like where money's going to come from. And God just like radically somehow poured all of this money into our yeah. bank account, and we were able to give and to pay rent. And
we had about 2 weeks left of money left.
Yeah.
Right.
And then
right.
we had a major breakthrough, and then
amazing.
God came through. So yeah.
Amazing. How old are you guys?
31.
31.
Okay, we're getting younger. We're getting younger. All right.
We're the young ones.
You guys can go. Good. All right, we don't have much time. I'm going to ask one more. We're going to go get really younger. I'm actually going to get my daughter Gemma to come on up here. Come on up here, Gemma. How old are you? Gemma, just I know, but for everybody
else,
I'm 22. Yeah. Okay, how long have you been? What was your upbringing like, Gemma?
how long do we have?
Yeah. Tell us about how long you've been giving in Division Builders.
I think since I was 14, since I had a job. Would you say that's right?
I'm 14. I think that's
maybe young, like. Maybe younger.
Awesome, awesome. So for any teenagers here, you can do it.
Yeah, like I remember we said like just like a dollar a week, that's 50. I actually think I started doing that.
Yeah.
When I was, yeah.
About that, 14-ish?
Oh, even younger. When Mum says seven. Yeah, when I was seven,
whoa.
I started.
Okay.
And it was just a dollar a week, $52. That's easy.
Yeah, okay, consistency. Locks yeah. you. What does giving for you do with your heart?
So much. I mean, I was thinking about it before, and I'm just like, why not? You know what I mean? Like, it's not my money.
Right.
It's God's money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, why hold on to it and be just like, yeah. Like, I just want to be a generous person. It's not, I don't want that to be a ceiling on my life.
Right.
And the giving, just like, the blessing when you give a gift mm-hmm. at Christmas or a birthday, like, and you get to see the joy on someone's face. It's like, that's what giving is. And even though it's money and it's not necessary, like, I love when it's like that seat, like I paid for that seat. It's right. like that meant like that picture of like, oh, yeah. I did that.
Yeah.
Like,
awesome.
That was my money.
Awesome. So you went for the big stretch a few years ago. Yeah. Tell us about your, like, okay, I want to be a vision investor and jump into that. How old were you?
I was 17.
Okay.
And the Lord spoke to me about giving $5,000.
Sure, it was him?
Yeah. Like, I remember somebody saying when I was younger, like, the two things that you'll hear God speak the most clearly about is, like, your next step and how much to give.
Very cool.
And I was like... And I remember I was in a moment, and we might have it later, and it's just like praying about what to give. And I remember being like, oh, God, what should I give? And he was like, $5,000. And I was like, wow, devil, stop. Lord, how much should I give? And I went home, and you said to me, I think God told me how much you're going to give this year. And I was like, no, he didn't. Like, and we're at the kitchen table, and Mum was like, oh, like, how much is it? And I was like, oh, like, guess. And she was like, I don't know, $1,000. because I had never, like, I think I'd only ever given $1,000. And Mum was like, $1,000, and I was like, more, and you were like, more. And I was, and she was like, what, $2,000? And I was like, more. and she was like, $5,000. And I was like, yeah, $5,000. And that, like, I was full-time uni, doing internship, mm-hmm. had a casual job at GYG. Wow. And
so how did you go?
I didn't complete it that year. I moved to Melbourne and I tried.
Yeah.
I moved to Melbourne and I really tried. I did. And it was so hard because I really wanted to. Like, right. I so badly wanted to. But, uh-huh. you know, when it's like, can I put fuel in my car or can I pay Vision Builders? Like,
yeah.
I literally couldn't afford to.
So it's kind of humbling.
Oh, that's so humbling.
That's okay, though. That's often part of the journey of, like, okay, I'm stretching, I'm believing.
Yeah.
I know I can't do it on my own. So what did you do at the end of the year?
So then, well, I made that commitment. I made that pledge. So just because I couldn't do it in 12 months didn't mean I wasn't going to fulfill it.
So how long did it take you?
Another year. So then we're one church, about to be three locations, yes. but I pledged to Melbourne yes. to build our house in Melbourne, and I pledged to the Sunshine Coast to fulfill that right. pledge. Right. So it took me another 12 months, so 2 years total.
Okay, and so then you've been building up, so this last year?
Yeah, so this last year, and I knew it was coming. Like, for the years after that, I remember praying each year, being like, how much to give, and I knew in my heart that there would be a time that God said, give again, right. like, give $5,000 again. Yeah. And so I felt that last year, right. at this time last year, that God was like, it's time to give again. And I was like, okay, I'll do that.
Okay. And have you?
Yeah.
Good job. Well done. That's awesome. So two things, and then we're going to wrap it up. So what's God done in your heart as part of that whole journey of stretching?
He's just opened me up to just like the endless... God's my provider, and I don't need to stress about money. I don't often. I mean, yeah, like, there are times where you have to pay bills and things get really tight and you got to do that, but like, I know God's going to provide in every single area of my life.
And you needed like a part-time job.
I needed a part-time job.
You got an awesome part-time job.
I got an epic part-time job.
So one that works for your season.
Yeah.
So he's good at that.
Yeah.
He's good at providing. That's his nature, right?
Yes.
What's your why?
My why is the vision of this church and transform lives. And my why is there's people like me in kids' church who were raised in a Christian home, and I want them to stay in the house of God. And I want that for my children. But I also know there's people that didn't get that opportunity. And so my why is so that they can come in through those gates, that they can encounter the presence of God, that, you know, there are people that are dealing with the most dark things, and they get to come in and feel welcomed and loved, and they get freedom from that in this place. They meet Jesus in this place, and that's my why.
Awesome. Proud of you. Thank you, sweetie. Very cool. All right. I'm going to get a keyboardist up. The band. Okay, you guys can come up as well. So we're just going to take a moment and just have that what does God want us to do moment. And this is not about comparing one person to another. This is just about you. And again, if you're part of this church, saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? How am I going to get involved? I usually like to say, try and work out at least 80% of how you're going to do it to fulfill a pledge. Don't sort of just pluck a number and hope that you're going to do it. Make a plan. But let's just close our eyes. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing in this house. I thank you for the generosity, for the sacrifice. Thank you that we can trust you. Lord, we want to be free from stress and anxiety around finances and know that you're our provider. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to us right now about what to give. That you'd open up our hearts. Fear would break off us. Lack would break off us. And that as we give, there'd be just such a sense of joy and to shift. In Jesus' name, amen.